Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Assemblywoman Heidi Kasama joins us. She'll talk about the bills that lived and died. Here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation, and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We are broadcasting, as always, from the home of the Nevada Builders Alliance here in Carson City. And we're delighted to welcome to the program for the first time Assemblywoman Heidi Kasama. She's a Republican from District 2. Pleasure to have you on the program.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You are very welcome. So you sit on Commerce and Labor, Government Affairs, and Natural Resources.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, mm-hmm. So yesterday was kind of a crazy day.
Crazy day.
What lived and what died that was important to you?
Well, certainly one of the things that died was a lot of the bills that I carried that I worked with the governor on. And so that was disappointing. I didn't even get a hearing on those. And so, you know, that goes back to about a week or so ago, our committee deadlines. And so those did not get through. So that is very disappointing that they couldn't even get a hearing in the light of day. I had some other bills that went through that helped with dental hygienists, fast tracking to get them into the state, some cleanup for insurance. So those got through, but the bills that I was really passionate about, I was not able to finish some of those. I had some other bills. I had a prior authorization for medical. I'm very concerned about our medical and health system. And the prior authorization bills, I did present a prior authorization bill to fast track because it's taking so long if you're sick to get some of this prior authorization. Unfortunately, my husband's been very ill. And so I've been part of the system from the wrong side, right, helping a patient. And so I had a bill with that, but because I'm in the minority, as you know, there were several bills from Democrats. So those are the bills that passed, which is fine. It's great for the state. And I did become a co-sponsor on those. And so I think, you know, it's good that we're here. We're only here every 2 years. But if we can get that done down the finish line all the way, I'd be thrilled.
Okay. So now, did the Democrats pick up your prior authorization bill? Or portions of it?
You just never know. Why is some of this language so similar? You know, even Lieutenant Governor, he had some great bills, and they didn't get a hearing on one of his bills.
He was here last week.
Okay, all right.
And well, he made it very clear, abundantly clear,
yeah,
that his positions on transgender males playing in female sports killed all of his bills.
Yes, yes. And I last year was on Ways and Means. Now, my background is I was a CPA for 27 years. My husband and I owned a CPA firm. So I'm a financial background person, a business background person. So I was sitting on Ways and Means. To my knowledge, I believe I was the only person with a CPA background, or for that matter, a financial background, sitting on there. And last session, I questioned over and over again, costs, spending, where is this going? What's the return on our investment? And interestingly enough, this session, I was not placed back on that committee. So considering that I'm one of the people with probably the best background for that, and I was removed from the committee, because asking too many questions, challenging things, did not fit well with the majority.
Okay, so what was the biggest error you believe that you made, even though you don't really believe it was an error last time around?
Oh, I spoke up on the assembly floor as to overspending. I was very upset with the LCB, the Legislative Council Bureau, asked for an increase of 72% in their budget. And I spoke up about that on the floor, and after that, they killed all my bills.
And what did they end up receiving?
Oh, they received the money.
Mm-hmm. When you look at, you know, state government here in Nevada, mm-hmm. we seem to be so far behind on technology. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be such an awful thing in 2025
yes.
that we'll be so far behind in technology. But at the same time, it costs so much money to upgrade and integrate that with all the different systems. Where are we at this point with trying to get into the 21st century?
So that's a great question. I think it has hampered us as a state because we're a smaller state. We only meet every 2 months. But I do believe, every 2 years. every 2 years.
Thank goodness.
It's still a blur from yesterday.
Yeah, so. every 2 months would be a little stressful.
Yeah. And so we have been behind with the technology. And I think one of the things I've noticed with the state is that there is not ongoing maintenance reserves at a sufficient level so that we're not always in a crisis mode when some of these issues and these technology issues come up. I also am in real estate. I own a property management company.
We're getting to that in a moment.
Yeah. But, you know, we look at reserves and we look at funding so that you have money set aside for this. And I think that's been maybe part of the issue is that we haven't planned for that in the budget. It's always just strictly operational and we have to put money aside for that. With that said, the ARPA funds were a great opportunity for us to have the windfall, so to speak, to really upgrade some of our technologies. And so we're doing that with our state system, the Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation, DETR. They've had some major upgrades. Of course, the DMV has gone through major upgrades. We know during COVID that there was no way they could keep up with the unemployment claims and all of those issues. And so it was a great opportunity for us. And I think that was probably some of the wisest places that we could spend our ARPA dollars was on one-shot deals. It's for technology, it's for capital improvements, it's for a lot of this deferred maintenance. And it was used a lot for that.
Well, you know, and as we saw during COVID, I mean, DETR was, you know, computer-wise, totally unprepared mm-hmm. for the avalanche that was gonna mm-hmm. come. We have a very healthy rainy day fund. Mm-hmm. Do you think money should be diverted from there before we get to a rainy day to be able to accomplish some of these goals? Because if we go through, you know, a major cut in Medicaid, which is still a possibility, mm-hmm. we're going to need money, serious money.
No, we absolutely are.
But also the tools to deal with whatever the problems are that occur from that. Mm-hmm.
So I think kind of finish a little bit too, I do think we've spent some good money to upgrade our technology. So I know we have a system now that we've started testing already with HR, human resources, and payroll. They've started a few. They're going to be double tracking them for a few months. And so that will be a new system that will be integrated through many of the state agencies because a lot of them were kind of on their own. And then the systems are sold, they no longer get support from. So we had to invest that money, and I call it an investment in making the state better. So we have done that, and I think that is good. I think that's gonna catch us up a lot. And how do we handle that in the future? I You know, I always say, you know, it's kind of like real estate too. You have your CAMs, you have your common area maintenance fees that are right. on top of your rents. And that gives you a reserve for when the air conditioning goes out or when this goes out. So it's not a panic because you don't have the money. So I think we should look at operating a lot of the state along that line where we build up. You know, if you build up small amounts of reserves, then you have it there. The rainy day fund is for catastrophic kind of loss of revenues if the, you know, if the revenue doesn't come in the way we're expecting and our market goes down. And unfortunately, we're Nevada and I'm Las Vegas, and I've been here since 2002 and I've gone through several ups and downs, and it's very tough. And I think we should plan better for ongoing maintenance, routine upgrades, and have the rainy day fund when we really need those, so that we still have that, those funds for basic services that we need for our citizens.
So let's talk about education. NSEA is sponsoring commercials on this program at this very time, looking for, you know, an increase in funding for education. In the last session, $2.25 billion went towards education. What are your thoughts about what should be appropriated this session?
So I believe, you know, that the I believe there was a need for some increase for our teacher salaries. I really believe that because
no argument.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a great job. They're the front line. And, you know, that's where I believe the money needs to go, is to the front line, is get it into the classroom. I think we've been administratively heavy with our funding. And so I think, you know, I'd like to see that it goes there. I'm not in favor of increased funding at this point, because we did such a huge increase in funding last session that now we have to focus on accountability. How is that being spent? And what is the return on our investment? Where is that going? Has that helped to increase the teacher pipeline? Has that increase with a decrease in substitutes and more teacher hires? That's an area I think I've seen firsthand in some of the classrooms, that we've filled the gap with a lot of substitutes, and we need to have committed teachers in there. And I think this has gone a long ways, our funding last session, to bring in teachers that are full-time salaried. And so, but I think there's a reshuffling that the schools have to do as far as making sure that it is going down into the classroom, and so that the kids are the ones that are benefiting from it.
Okay, but how long, you know, and you're a businesswoman, how long should it take for that amount of money to funnel its way into the system to provide results? Is 2 years enough time? Because that's a huge, you know, if you would have put that in road maintenance, that would take a long time. Mm-hmm. If you tried to spend it all at once, you'd be Cone City for a very long time,
right,
and thrown out of office by the public.
Yeah.
How does that apply to education, yeah, when you apply that much money into the system?
I think, you know, we're going to be able to, you're right, you're not going to get reports in a year that show the difference, maybe not even 2 years. I'm hoping it's about 2 years. But by the time we voted on it, it's just getting into the process now. So I think probably about 2 years from when the money started getting in there to start to see and get some reports. But it will take a few years, and that's why I'm not in favor of contributing more funding until we see the results of where this is and that it's being spent in a proper way that we see, you know, accountability and return on it.
Your thoughts, as we're on education, of Joan Ebert leaving the State Department of Education, mm-hmm, to head up the Clark County School District, mm-hmm, fifth largest school district in the nation. I applaud her for her courage. Yeah. Your thoughts?
I'm very pleased to see that she was the person that they settled on. I've worked with her on the state level. She was always level-headed when she was in the legislature with us. It was not a easy place for her to be last session, working with many of us. And I always found her to be intelligent, level-headed, and I think that's what we need at Clark County School District. And, you know, she comes from a teaching background herself, and so, and she's been part of our state for many, many years. And so I think she's a good fit, and I'm hopeful that she will help with the Clark County School District, because it needs hope. It needs reconciliation between the teachers, the parents, the administrative, and I'm hopeful she will
and the school board.
And the school board. And they voted for her unanimously, which they did not with the previous superintendent.
It would be nice to see some calm.
Mm-hmm.
In that
calm would be good.
Yes.
Yeah, calm would be good.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Heidi Kasama after this timeout.
What is that?
That's the governor's funding bill for education.
It looks pretty flat. Wasn't there a plan to increase funding for our schools?
Yeah, but the governor's ignoring it.
We have to pass the plan.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing. Because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
Meet Nevada HealthLink, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada HealthLink. Our plans are made for your plans.
What is that?
That's the governor's funding bill for education.
It looks pretty flat. Wasn't there a plan to increase funding for our schools?
Yeah, but the governor's ignoring it.
We have to pass the plan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Heidi Kasama. She's a Republican from District 2. As you mentioned earlier, you're a realtor.
Yes.
And you've operated on the national, state, and local levels as well. And I was kind of wondering what you thought about this whole concept that's been pushed nationally as well as locally on limiting corporate ownership of property. And that, of course, is a big deal in Las Vegas. I was curious, as a businesswoman, what your thoughts were.
You know, it's a big issue, and like you said, it's become kind of a national cry. They're looking at it on the federal level, state levels. I've seen,
and it's definitely not a bipartisan issue. It's a partisan issue.
Correct. Yeah, I've seen people wanting to limit people to owning 4 properties, 100 properties, 500 properties. So you see all kinds of different things. And I think there is something to be looked at there. But I can tell you, I also went through the Great Recession in 2008 and 2009 in real estate. And I would drive people around Las Vegas, down streets, and we had over 50% for sale signs in yards. And I would drive them around in downtown Summerlin, which is part of my district. We called it the skeleton. We had the 4 or 5 story
right.
steel tower. I'm sure you've seen it.
Next door to Red Rock.
Yeah. And I would always say, this will be nice at some point. This will be nice.
And it did turn out nice.
It did turn out beautiful. I go there a lot. I love it now. But people were so afraid to buy. And we would drive down there and they're like, what's wrong with Las Vegas? Why is everybody selling? What's going on? Because we were ground zero for the foreclosure crisis. So if you had somebody visiting from Oregon or Seattle, I'm originally from the Seattle area, they certainly had a downturn, but it wasn't as in your face as in Las Vegas. And it finally got so bad and so low that the investors started to come in and buy. And not until they came in and started to buy did we get water back on and lawns turned green. And the yard started to get fixed up, and slowly people started to move back into those homes. So I think with that said, I think there's a balance, because I've gone through that time when nobody would buy. And so you can't have a blanket that investors are bad, because they really saved us at that time. The return on investment was so low, how could they not start buying? They took the chance of nobody renting for maybe a few years in those homes, and some of that was true too. And other people didn't have the funds to be able to do that. With that said, I have also gone out recently with buyers to buy a home, and they have a loan or an FHA mortgage, and the investor comes in with cash. And then the seller will take that over my buyer with the loan. So I've been on both sides where it's been very difficult for buyers. I think sometimes I hear people say they're removing inventory from the market. No, they're not. The houses are houses. We have the houses are sitting in the community, whether it's owned by an investor or a private homeowner. That house is still there, and so it's just a matter of who is in that home. With the investor, it's always going to be a renter. And we've had a shortage of rentals. We've had a shortage of homes for people to buy, and a lot of that is a lack of building with inventory and problems with the the economy and interest rates for people that have gone up. So it's been difficult for buyers to get into home.
Okay, but have you seen, because, you know, from my observation, it appears like the market is figuring out how to deal with the interest rates. For example, with new homes, builders are offering discounts points, et cetera. Right. And also, I mean, even though these rates are high by comparison with what they were a couple of years ago, historically, they're low.
I know. You and I have been around long enough, let's face it. So I even tell my clients 5 or 6%. Oh, my goodness, 6, 7%. Those are interest rates. And people, I think, got spoiled for the last, I shouldn't say spoiled, it was a great opportunity.
No, they were spoiled.
Yeah.
Including me.
And so, you know, when you're buying at 2 or 3%, it's not what we've have historically had. We've historically been around 5 or 6 or 7% consistently. Those are great interest rates. I tell people, take advantage of those, go in and buy. But I think we have, you know, a decade or so where people are like, oh, I'm going to wait till it's back to this low because they've seen that. It's not going to happen. I always tell people you date the interest rate, but you marry the house.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, so you can refinance later, but get the house you like.
And that's exactly the truth, which is you can refinance later. Let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino during the $150,000 Denim and Diamonds giveaways, with cash and free play drawings every Thursday and Saturday, and $30,000 in grand finale giveaways Saturday, May 31st, including a top prize of $20,000 guaranteed. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Heidi Kasama. She's the Republican from District 2. You wanted to talk about some of the other bills here.
Yeah, so I had AGR 2, 3, and 4. And though I worked with the governor on those. Those are transparency and accountability bills. One of them that I was pretty passionate about was a 72-hour hold on a bill. So that, because right now you can literally have a bill presented on the last day of session, waive all the rules, and we're voting on it. That's insane. And so my bill was just said it has to be published, available to the public for 72 hours before we can vote on it. To me, that's real common sense. That would bring stakeholders together we could vet the bill, we could look at it, we could call somebody up that's an expert and get their input on it before we vote on it. And so that one was very disappointing to see, because as I spoke with some of my colleagues across the aisle, I said, you know, this is something we can leave the state better than we found it. You and I will be gone in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, no longer serving up here. This makes the state better and the process better. Couldn't get a hearing on it.
And let's face it, the reality is that that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
because
I hope it happens.
You're here for 4 months,
yeah,
you know, every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we don't come down here for the first month because there is really not that much going on.
Yeah.
And the last few days of a session is when the action happens. And
so my argument is we're procrastinators. We're all procrastinators.
No, we're deal makers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it'll just move it up.
Well, yeah.
It'll just move it up.
I don't disagree. But the reality is, in my opinion, mm-hmm. that's never going to happen. But I applaud the fact that you
I'm an optimist.
Think it should. All right. A pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for doing this.
It was a pleasure. I will. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Carson Valley Inn, Patriot Place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers come to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.